Todos bem-vindos. Vamos entrando. Boa noite a todos. Vamos pedindo a todos que deixem, por favor, os microfones desligados, desliguem também as câmeras. A gente só está recebendo aqui devagarinho as pessoas, só esperando todo mundo entrar para poder dar início à palestra do Rabino Eli Mansur. Baruch Hashem, bastante gente entrando. Laércio, são 9:02, a gente espera mais um minuto e a gente começa?
Sim, Rabino. Mais 2 minutinhos.
2 minutos. Ok, Rabbi Mark, 1 minute and half, 2 minutes we start. Just because everybody's getting inside, Baruch Hashem. Bom, pedimos a todos desligando, por favor, desligando as câmeras e deixando os microfones no mudo. Boa noite a todos. É uma honra, um prazer muito, muito grande receber todos vocês aqui hoje à noite. Nós continuamos o nosso ciclo de palestras, uma iniciativa da sinagoga Beit Yaakov, da comunidade Beit Yaakov, em conjunto com a escola. E a noite de hoje nós temos um grande mérito de receber o grande Rabino Eli Mansur, da comunidade do Brooklyn, está aqui com a gente hoje. Eu gostaria de pedir para o Marcelo Shalom, um membro da nossa comunidade, da Keilah Beit Yaakov, de São Paulo, que hoje mora em Nova York, para ele fazer a abertura e falar umas palavras para a gente começar a nossa palestra. Marcelo, por favor, com você.
Obrigado, Rabino. Everybody, I'm going to speak in English so that the rabbi could understand as well. I tried to teach him some Portuguese in the past years, but he's a little rough with the rabbi. He's too busy with his busy schedule. So I'm going to speak in English so that the rabbi could hear some of the words. It's a great honor for me to be here and to participate in this great event tonight, which are organized by Beit Yaakov and Rabbi Shlomo Safra in Brazil, which is it's really a dream, is something unbelievable. And I'm so happy and proud to be here participating. Who am I to speak about the speaker of tonight? But I just accepted because Rabbi Shlomo Safra has been in contact with me and has been asking me to this night to happen for so long. So I said, I have to accept. And besides that, I have the privilege to learn with Rabbi Eli Mansur Shlita for the past maybe 19 years, almost every day, besides some days here and there. But I really have a great privilege, is a zechut that I don't know what I did. It's probably zechut avot that I got the privilege to be here. And I was born in Brazil. I lived in Brazil. Most of you know me. And it's a great privilege that I had to meet Rabbi Mansur, and I, since the moment I met him, I got in touch with him, and we've been together for the past 19 years. Just to give you a brief, the people, you know, Rabbi Mansur is much more than a great speaker, the best speaker of our generation. People, oh, he gives great derashot, his classes are amazing. But I don't look at it that way. Rabbi Mansur has a full hand in Torah. It's amazing how he's not a regular rabbi that just have, you know, each rabbi has a specialty. And my father, he always asks me, you know, this rabbi, what's his specialty? What's his specialty? Is he good in Gemara, in Halacha, in Derashot? And he asked me a few times already in the past. He knows already that I'm not going to answer what he wants. But he asked me a few times already in the past, what's Rabbi Mansur's specialty? I said, he has a full hand in everything. And just to give you an example, look at the Gemara, dailygemara.com. Started like 20 years ago, the first two in the 12th cycle of the Daf Yomi. Rabbi Mansur had a vision that nobody had here in Brooklyn at the time. Nobody almost was learning Gemara. He said, I'm going to do Gemara, I'm going to put it online. The whole Shas is online, and all, everywhere in the world, young boys, older men, everybody is listening to the dailygemara.com from Rabbi Mansur. Daily Halacha also is a project that started maybe 20 years ago, 18 years ago, and sent thousands upon thousands of halachot to all over the world. It's amazing how many people get the dailyhalacha.com. I get questions from Daily Halacha. People ask me, oh, can you please go ask Rabbi Mansur? And he gets amazing feedbacks from Daily Halacha. Musar, every day the rabbi gives classes in Musar, has few, maybe tens of books online, the full book, Mesilat Yesharim, Pele Yoetz, and Kava Yashar, so many books that rabbi has, full library online. In each class is better than the others. Not that, you know, okay, he's repeating himself. Each class is a blockbuster. Then go to Derashot. Derashot, okay, everybody knows that all of them, one better than the other. And then what people don't know is the Torah Tassodah, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Mansur. He doesn't reveal that. He gives just some gematria here and there. And people think, you know, he's the rabbi. He knows some gematria and he likes gematria. But he has a full hand in Torah Tassodah, in the Kabbalah, in the concepts. And that he doesn't reveal because he's a sod. But I could attest you for living close to him and to seeing the rabbi every single day, could attest you what kind of rabbi we're talking about. And that's why everybody's looking to hear his derashot and to be close to him. But these are all great accomplishments. But if you allow me another minute, that I wanted to say is very important, because this rabbi, that's why I said he's a full-handed rabbi. He's not only doing Torah. If you look at chesed that the rabbi does, he has, first of all, I think one of the projects that the rabbi is most proud of is the Kolel Hatzot. He opened a Kolel that is 18 rabbis every night from Hatzot Alayla until Alot HaShahar. Every single night, 18 rabbis, they go to shul. You pass by Ocean Park whenever you are, you see the rabbis over there. You can go any night. Every single night, the rabbis are there learning Kolel Hatzot. There's no such a thing in Brooklyn. Even in Brooklyn, there's no such a thing. Rabbi said it's a great protection for the community. I'm going to do that. It's a lot of money. He went, he raised all the money, and he's doing that. And he gives a lot of tzedakot to these people. Besides that, Rabbi has a chesed fund, has a gemach fund, has a Pesach fund. In Pesach, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars goes to the rabbi's fund. And he buys food, puts it on his Shabbat table, piles and piles of food and boxes and things. He distributes food, does chesed, does, it's amazing. So it's not that, that's why I say it's really Bnei Ara, and Hashem should give a long life and strength to the rabbi, that because he really is not only in Torah, but his Torah and chesed and the whole pillar of Judaism, you see in this rabbi, not only the nice derashot and the great chidushim. So I'm sure you're going to have a blast tonight. I can guarantee you. I really could guarantee you, because there's no. I've been seeing that in a daily basis. So I wanted to say that finally, Rabbi Shlomo Safra, you're fulfilling your dream that you've been dreaming about it for 5 or 10 years. Every time I see you, when are you going to get me, Rabbi Mansur, here? When are you going to get Rabbi Mansur to come to Brazil? It's really a dream, and it's very nice that Baruch Hashem, we are fulfilling it tonight. And like the rabbi told me one day, he said, listen, if I can go to Brazil, give a derasha and still sleep in my bed, so it's a great deal. So that's the answer of the rabbi. So Baruch Hashem is a win-win. And so if you, I don't want to go, I could speak until tomorrow, but I think now is the night, is Bechavod Chamunsur, and enjoy everything.
Hazak Baruch Marcelo, for those very nice words. I wish you would have said it in Portuguese, so I didn't understand what you said. Because I hope you didn't take away some of my zechuyot, but all those compliments. But thank you, I appreciate it, and I hope I could live up to all the nice things that you said about me, and to Skillim and Zvot for helping organize tonight's Derash. Rabbi Safra, thank you for your hospitality. Thank you again for organizing this great event at a very important time of the year. And of course, Kahal Kadosh of São Paulo, Brazil, Kahal Kadosh Bet Yaakov, and all the members of the community that are here tonight listening to this derash. Yes, indeed, it is a very important derash. Most important, we are 3 days before Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Pe'alef, Shiyavo Alenu Netova, Amen. The Torah does not mention the words Rosh Hashanah. It does not say the words Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. When the Torah refers to the Hag, to the Yom Tov, it refers to it as Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the Teruah, of the Shofar, which tells us that the essence of Rosh Hashanah is the Shofar. It's the only mitzvah de'oraita on Rosh Hashanah. All the other things that we do, Tashlich, that's a minhag. The Simanim, that's already a minhag from the times of the Gemara. But the only mitzvah from the Torah that we have on Rosh Hashanah is to take the Shofar and to blow and to make the sounds. Yom Teruah Yehi Lachem. And the question is, what is the significance of Shofar? What is this strange instrument with these odd sounds? Tiki'ah, Shivarim, Teruah, Tiki'ah. What does it do? What is its purpose? Actually,
hello.
Harambam writes that actually the Tiki'ot of the Shofar is Gezerat Melech. There's no other reason but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. It's a gezerah. Ki chok li Yisrael hu. Mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. Ultimately, God does not have to explain to us why we have to blow the shofar. God says, blow the shofar, we accept. The reason is in the Shamayim. Mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. God understands the reason. But to us, gezerat melech. And that's probably the reason for all the mitzvot. God doesn't owe us an explanation. The reason why we do the mitzvot ultimately is because Hutziva, he commanded us. However, the Gemara does tell us a consequence that happens when we blow the shofar, which is very, very important to know this. The Gemara says that at the time of the Tikiot Miyoshev, those are the Tikiot that we blow when we're sitting, the first 30, the Satan becomes Me'urbab. We all know what the Satan is. And at the time that he hears the first tiki'ot, he gets bewildered. He gets confused. He becomes disoriented. And at that moment, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts the case. That's when we go on trial. That's when the deen is. During the tiki'ot, the miyoshev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, where's the prosecutor? And the prosecutor is not there because he's scared, he's shaking, he's hiding under the table. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if there's no prosecutor, so then we only have a defense. And therefore, as a result, Klai Yisrael benefits a sweet judgment because the Satan is not present in the courtroom. Rabotai, imagine there's a person in the court and he committed a crime and there's witnesses. And once the witnesses testify, he could go to jail for 20 years. And he goes to court that day and he's shaking because he knows the punishment he can get. And the judge says, okay, will the witnesses come forward? And all of a sudden the lawyer says, "My, Your Honor, the witnesses died last night. There's no more witnesses." And all of a sudden the guy starts to smile and jump. There's no witnesses. They can't put him in jail. The witnesses cannot show up because they're dead. Well, the Satan doesn't die on Rosh Hashanah, but he's hiding. He's so nervous that he doesn't show up to the case. And as a result, Borei Olam says, there's no prosecutor, there's no witnesses. Finished. There's a sweetening of the judgment. It moves Satan. As a matter of fact, the great rabbi, the Tur, Benu Yaakov Baal HaTurim, he writes in the Halakha that the word shofar is actually Rashi Tevot. The Rashi Tevot, he says, is En Satan ve'en pega ra. Now, I know that sounds like a strange Rashi Tevot. Shofar doesn't start with an aleph. It starts with a sheen. But the Rashi Tevot of the Tur starts with an aleph. And he says, En Satan. There's no Satan. Ve'en, and there's also no pega ra. There's no damage. Well, I think that the rabbi called the Taz asked this question on the Tur. The Taz asks in the Halakha, what do you mean? What kind of Rashi Tevot is this? It's very nice. En Satan ve'en pegara, but there's no Aleph in Shofar. So he says, forget about the Aleph. You're able to say Satan, that even though the Satan is still alive, he didn't die. The Satan is there. However, ve'en pegara, but there's no damage. Meaning, even though there is the Satan, even though he's in existence, Satan, but ve'en pegara, that's what the power of Shofar is. That even though there is a Satan in the world, he doesn't show up to the case. And therefore, automatically, there's a sweetening of the judgment. Rabotai, I have to tell you something, maybe it's above the level, but I don't get to speak to you every night. And I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to speak to you. So therefore, please allow me to tell you a secret that was said from Rabbeinu Ari. Because you need to know exactly the value of this shofar. Rabbeinu Ari said that in the heavens on Rosh Hashanah, there's actually three different courts. That's a hiddush. I didn't know that. I thought there was only one Bet Din. He says, no, there's three Bate Dinim. And we need to get a good judgment in all the three courts. And he tells us the names of these courts. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name. That name is Elohim. Anytime you see the name Elohim, that's the name of judgment. Yudke Vavke is the name of mercy. Elohim is Din. And there's three judges, or three courts, Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. And we have to pass all three. So he says, what do you need three judges? What do you need three courts with the same name? He says, no, they're all different. He says that they're all different. If you know the numerical value of Elohim, Rabotai, Marcelo said that I like gematria. Well, this is not from me, this is Rabbeinu Ari said. The numerical value of the word Elohim, as you know, is 86. Okay, keep that number in your head. That's the court number one, 86. But Rabotai, there's another way to spell the name of God, Elohim, and that is in the system of Milui. I'll explain to you what Milui means. Take the first letter of Elohim, it's an Aleph. Spell it out, Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Peh, Aleph, like it sounds. And then take the Lamed of Elohim, Lamed, Lamed, Mem, Dalet. And then take the He, He, Yud, He. And then take the Yud of Elohim, Yud, Vav, Dalet, Yud. And then the Mem, Mem, Mem. That's called Elohim, Bemilui. That's a second court. It's the Elohim, but it's opened up. Now, if you take all those letters that I just mentioned to you, I did the math before I came, the numerical value of all those letters equals 300. Now, there's one more court, and that is the court of Elohim, Benibua. Now, I'll tell you how that works. take the name Elohim, and on the first line, write an Aleph. On the second line, Aleph Lamed. On the third line, Aleph Lamed He. On the fourth line, Aleph Lamed He Yud. On the fifth line, Aleph Lamed He Yud and Mem. Which means you're going up. Every line you add a letter. That's called Elohim Bedibua. Now, if you take that Elohim and you take the numerical value, it equals 200. So therefore, Rabotai, there's basically three courts. One court is Elohim Bemilui, that equals 300. One court is Elohim regular, which equals 86. And one is Elohim Hadraga, which equals 200. Now, if you take the word Shofar, the first letter of Shofar is a Sheen. Sheen is 300. The Sheen of Shofar is Mevatel, the Deen of Elohim Bemilui. And then the last letter of Shofar is a Resh. Resh equals 200. That's Mevatel, the Shem Elohim, Behadraga, Beribua of 200. And the middle letters of Shofar is Vavpeh. Vavpeh is 86. 86 is the Shem Elohim regular. And therefore the Shofar has a certain Segula that it's able to nullify the three courts. And it says, before we blow the Shofar, Allah Elohim Betru'ah, Adonai Bekol Shofar, that although before we blow the Shofar, God is Elohim, but by the time we blow the Shofar, Adonai Bekol Shofar, Elohim becomes Yudkebavke, becomes mercy. But Rabotai is the third benefit of blowing the Shofar, and that is, it reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedat Yitzhak. And anytime God remembers Akedat Yitzhak, He has mercy on us. How does the Shofar remind God of Akedat Yitzhak? After Avraham Avinu tied Yitzhak on the Mizbeach, so then God told him, don't bring him as a Korban, take him off. And then Avraham went into the bushes and took an animal, an ayin. And there was horns on the ayin. And Avraham took the horns off. Those horns were Shofarot. One Shofar was the Shofar of Matan Torah, and the other Shofar will be used Be'ezat Hashem Be'merabi Amenu Shofaro Shel Mashiach Teka Be'Shofar Gadol. So when we take our Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Borei Olam says, oh, that reminds me of the two Shofarot that happened at the time of Akedat Yitzhak. And God has mercy on Klal Yisrael in the Zechut of Akedat Yitzhak. There's a reason for this. Avraham Avinu is Chesed. Chesed Avraham. Yitzhak Avinu is Deen. When Avraham tied Yitzhak on the Mizbeach, the Chesed is tying the Deen on the Mizbeach. The Deen can't move. The Deen is subjugated to the Chesed. That's what Akedat Yitzhak does. It takes the strict judgment and it ties it in Chesed. The Chesed overpowers the Deen. Avraham ties Yitzhak. That's Akedat HaDinim. And therefore, when we blow the Shofar, Borei Olam relives and recounts the story of the Akedah. Rabotai, that's the benefit of this great Shofar. But Rabotai, I don't have such good news to tell you. I'm sorry that I have to break this to the participants tonight. I don't want you to be shocked when you go to the Bet Knesset on the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year, because you're going to realize that something is going to be missing, and that is the Shofar. I'm sorry to tell you that this year, being that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, there is no Shofar. Even though the Torah says you're allowed to blow the Shofar on Shabbat, there's nothing wrong to blow a Shofar on Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says Yom Teruah. But the great rabbis came along and they said, well, we don't want you to blow the Shofar. They took it away. Wow, why did they take it away? Why did they take it away? We need the Shofar. What did they see to take it away from us? They said, well, there's something that's very important. It's called Shabbat. And there's something on Shabbat that's forbidden, and that's carrying. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbat. You're not allowed to walk in the Reshut HaRabim and carry. You cannot walk four steps in the Reshut HaRabim. So the rabbi said, we're worried that maybe the people are going to be excited to blow the Shofar. And they're going to forget that it's Shabbat. And they're going to carry the Shofar in the public domain. Therefore, to protect the Shabbat, no Shofar. Wow. What a gezerah this is. Anybody is going to carry a Shofar Who blows the shofar? The rabbi blows the shofar. The rabbi is going to be Ma'alel Shabbat on Rosh Hashanah. It's such a remote gezerah. And to be honest with you, did any of you ever see anybody ever carrying a shofar? Did you see anybody ever carrying a shofar on a Tuesday? Did you see anybody ever carrying a shofar on any day? I never saw anybody carrying a shofar in my life. It's on the teva in the shul. I don't know how it got there. It's there. And now you're telling me that they're going to carry it on Shabbat for Amot Mishut Rabim, and you're taking away it? I don't question it. The Hakamim say, this is what we do. No shofar. Rabotai, we have a big issue now. Once there's no shofar, that means the Satan does not become me'urbav. The Satan does not become confused. You see, remember we learned, we said when the Satan hears the shofar, he thinks Mashiach is coming. Because when Mashiach comes, he's going to blow the shofar. He says, oh, Mashiach's coming. He runs away. He gets scared. Now, don't ask me why he doesn't remember last year and the year before. He forgets the Satan has a bad memory. I can't answer that question tonight. But the Satan gets nervous. He thinks Mashiach's coming. And then, but he doesn't come to the court. But in the year that we don't blow the shofar, he shows up to the court. So when Borei Olam says, is the prosecutor here? He says, I'm here. The prosecutor's there. What do we do in this situation, Abotai? We have a big, big crisis. The fact that we cannot blow the shofar, that means the Satan can be mekatreg. That means we're in trouble. And there's no shofar, so there's no akedah yitzhak. And the three courts, there's no sheen, there's no vav peh, there's no resh. We're not able to nullify the three courts. What is going to happen this year, Tavshin Peh Aleph, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, Shehal Yod B'Shabbat? This is a big discussion about time that we're about to enter. And it needs a lot of concentration and analysis. I would like to offer one interpretation tonight, although that's not the main interpretation that I came to say, but we must give it over. It's from the rabbi called Meshech Chokhmah. There was a great rabbi from the city of Divinsk. They called him Rabbi Meir Simcha Kohen, Rashi Tevot Meshech. Meir Simcha Kohen, Midvinsk, Meshech Chokhmah. And he says something incredible. He says, the Jewish people are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a marriage. God's the Hatan and Klai says the Kala. And the Meshech Chokhmah says, it's a good marriage. What makes it a good marriage? So I'll tell you a secret in Shalom Bayit, Rabotai. This is not a Shalom Bayit class, but I'll give you a secret. No extra charge. In the Shalom Bayit, a good marriage, always the husband gives credit to the wife and the wife gives credit to the husband. If somebody comes along and says, oh, how's your house doing? Oh, my wife, she's unbelievable. She runs the house. I don't know how she does it. She's incredible. And then they go ask the wife. They say, oh, don't ask. My husband's a big Baal Hesed and he makes panasa. If he didn't give me the money, I wouldn't be able to do anything. It's all him. He's so smart. A good marriage, everybody's always complimenting. And the marriage between us and God, says the Meshech Chokhmah, ani ledodi vedodi li. Ani ledodi, I am complimenting my beloved one, vedodi li, and my beloved one is complimenting me. Everybody compliments each other. I'll give you an example. He doesn't bring this example, but we know this example. We call the holiday Pesach. Always Pesach, Hag Pesach. But the Torah doesn't call it Pesach. The Torah calls it Hag Matzot. Why does God call it Hag Matzot and we call it Pesach? And the explanation is, because we come to God and say, Borei Olam, you're unbelievable. You passed over. Pasach al batei avoteinu. You saved us in Mitzrayim. It's all you. If you didn't pass over our homes, there would have been a tragedy in Makat Bechorot. Borei Olam, you're unbelievable. We're calling the holiday to your credit. Pesach. Borei Olam said, don't give me the credit. I'm calling the holiday Hag HaMatzot. You left Egypt with such emunah. All you had is Mish'arotam. All you had is a few matzot on your shoulders. Lechtech acharei b'midbar. You went into a midbar. Lo zeru'a. You didn't question. You went out with very, very small, meager provisions. Borei Olam said, it's about you, Hagamatzot. We say, no, Pesach. I said, no, Hagamatzot. I need the Nidhi Bedunini. It's a perfect example of the love that we have. I'll give you one other example as well. You see, and Meshech Chokma brings this example. You see, when the Jewish people needed to go to war against Midian. So Borei Olam says, I'm very upset at the people of Midian. Look what they did to the Jewish people. They caused them to make sins, and as a result, there was a plague. So Borei Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekom nikmat b'nei Yisrael. You must take revenge for my people. I'm upset at what they did to my people, what they did to my spouse. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll take care of it. He goes to the Jewish people and he says, Rabotai, we need to go to war. The people say, why? Latet nikmat Hashem b'midyan. We need to take the nikama for God. They only attacked us because we're God's people. This is a war for God. God says, no, nikmat Yisrael. We say, no, nikmat Hashem. This is a beautiful marriage. Everybody's worried. Abotai, consider what I'm going to tell you now, a bonus. I'll give you a third example. The Mishnah Chokma brings this as well. Gemara Berachot says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Don't ask me how he wears tefillin, Abotai. I cannot explain you the whole Torah in one shiur. He wears tefillin. We have to accept it. The Gemara says, Minayin shakadosh baruch hu maniach tefillin. He wears tefillin. So the Gemara says, well, what is written in the tefillin? What does it say in the tefillin of a kadosh baruch hu? So the Gemara says, it's similar to our tefillin. What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. We come along and we're so proud. We tell the whole world, there's only one God. There's nobody like him. Echad ve'en sheni, yahid en yahid ki yehudo. There's nobody like the oneness of God. We're so proud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one God. And what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? God says, don't be proud of me. I'm proud of you. Umicha mecha ki Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. The Jewish people, there's nobody like them. Yeah, the 70 nations. There's not 70 nations. There's one nation. Goy echad ba'aretz, the Jewish people. Everybody else is nothing. And therefore, we give the praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the praise back. We're only concerned not about ourselves. We're concerned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, Rabotai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very, very precious commodity. It's actually a treasure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there's a certain matana that he has. It's a gift, an expensive gift. And it's so expensive that he keeps it bebet genazav. Bet genazav means in the vault. You only keep very expensive, precious things in the vault. Matana ahad yeshli bebet genazai. And you know what that gift is? The Shabbat Shema. Borei Olam loves the Shabbat. The Shabbat is something that's very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we come along and we say, listen to the Meshech Chokma says, we say, Borei Olam loves the Shabbat. He treasures it. He puts it in Bet Genazav. But we need the shofar. We need the shofar to stop the Satan. We need the Satan to help us remember Akedah Yitzhak. We need the shofar to sweeten the judgments. But you know what? We'll give up the shofar. We'll give the shofar, take the shofar to keep the Shabbat protected because we know how much Hashem loves the Shabbat. For God, we're willing to give up the shofar. We're willing to be mevater. We're willing to take the shofar off the table so God will have the Shabbat without any problems. We don't want anybody to come to carry on Shabbat. Chas v'shalom, somebody should come to carry a shofar. It's more important for us that the Shabbat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains perfect. Then we have a good judgment. We'll give up our judgment. We'll give up our good year. We'll give up our beracha. We'll give up everything for our spouse. This is unbelievable. Adil Edoni, Borei Olam comes along and says the Meshech Chokma, what? What Mesirut Nefesh? What self-sacrifice? The Jewish people are willing to give up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Meshech Chokma, you know what that reminds God of? Akedat Yitzchak. That exactly reminds God of it. Because what was Akedat Yitzchak? Yitzhak was willing to give up everything. He was willing to die at the age of 37. That means you're not going to get married. You don't have children. You're not going to be able to do any more mitzvot. It's finished. He was willing to die al kiddush Hashem misirut nefesh. He said, "I have nothing. Everything belongs to God. Take anything you want from me, God, including my life." So when we give back the shofar to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbat, Shehal Rosh Hashanah, Shehalu b'Shabbat, on the contrary, by not blowing the shofar, that reminds God of the Akedah Yitzhak, and therefore we get all the good judgments. So therefore we don't lose out anything according to the Mishnah Berurah. That which we thought initially that we lose out when we don't blow the shofar, it's not true. We don't lose out anything. Adrabah, the Mishinut Nefesh that we're willing to give it up, that already reminds Borei Olam of the Akedah, and the Mishnah Berurah says, because of that, the judgments are sweetened. Well, that's a very good approach, Rabotai. But I came to tell you tonight what our great rabbi, Rav Ben Ishchai said, the Ben Yosef Haim in Baghdad. He doesn't say this in the Halachot, he says this in the Sefer Torah Lishma. He says a tremendous Hiddush. He says, Rabotai, you must know that if we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there must be deep reasons why we don't blow it on Rosh Hashanah, on Shehal Yod B'Shabbat. Even though the Gemara says, oh, because you might come to carry, that's not the reason. That's just the reason the Gemara said for the people, so they have something to understand. But there's really deeper reasons. And he writes that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, you don't need shofar. Whatever the shofar is able to accomplish, without shofar, you don't need it. The Shabbat accomplishes the same thing. There's something in the Kedusha of Shabbat. There's something in the value of the Shabbat. So, but we cannot explain that to the people. Well, what is the Shabbat? How is the Shabbat like a shofar? So they gave you a reason. Oh, we're worried you might come to carry it, but that's not the reason. The real reason is that Shabbat itself has certain kohot, and the kohot of the Shabbat fix the shofar. Shabbat is like the shofar. I'll even tell you better. You know how we have a law that says we can't wear tefillin on Shabbat? Why can't we wear tefillin on Shabbat? Why not? Let's wear tefillin on Shabbat. Says, no, because we always have to have two witnesses that testify that there's a God. Well, if you're a man, you have the Brit Milah. The Brit Milah is called an Ot. And tefillin is called an Ot. Vayale Ot. So that's two witnesses. Two witnesses, very good. On Shabbat, Shabbat is also called an Ot. Oti le'olam. Beni u'ben, b'nei Yisrael, Oti le'olam. So there's three Otot. Shabbat is an Ot. Brit Milah is an Ot. And Tefillin is an Ot. So why don't you have three Otot on Shabbat? We're three. You have Shabbat, Milah, Tefillin. No. If you're going to wear a Tefillin on Shabbat, that says that the Shabbat doesn't count. Maybe the Shabbat is not a good Ot. We want to show that the Shabbat is a good ot. So don't wear tefillin. If you put on the tefillin, you say, what do you need tefillin for? You have an ot. So therefore, we don't wear tefillin to show that Shabbat is a good ot. If you would blow the shofar, if you would blow the shofar on Shabbat, it's as if you were saying the Shabbat can't do the job. So the Ben Ishchai said, you don't need to blow the shofar. Adrabah, if you blow the shofar, you're telling us the Shabbat is weak. The Shabbat is not weak at all. Shabbat doesn't need shofar. It can handle it on its own. Now, the question is, how? What happens? What does the Shabbat do? How does the Shabbat protect us? Tonight I came to explain to you, Rabotai, how the Shabbat substitutes shofar. B'si'ata d'shmaya. What I'm telling you now is based on a rabbi called the Aruch Lanir in his Derashot. He said that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, it's true the Satan comes to the court. The Satan comes to the court. There's no Edbub Satan. He shows up. However, he says that there's a defense lawyer that shows up as well. There's a special lawyer. It's a very good lawyer. And it's been defending man from the beginning of time. And that lawyer shows up. And he wins the case. Asks the Aruch HaNer, who's the lawyer? He says, that lawyer is called Shabbat. The Shabbat comes to the Bedin to testify. Now, Rabotai, I know that Shabbat is a day of the week. I didn't know it's a lawyer. I didn't know it's Orech Din. Shabbat is a day of the week. Since when does the Shabbat go to court? So he quotes a fantastic midrash in Tehillim. The midrash says, Adam HaRishon, he ate from the Etz HaDa'at. He ate on a Friday. That's when he was born, and that's the day he ate. After he ate, it was close to Shabbat. Borei Olam already made a judgment. Adam HaRishon Hayav Mita. And the plan was, Adam was supposed to die on Shabbat. That was the plan. And then all of a sudden, who comes into the Beit Din? Shabbat. And Shabbat comes into the Beit Din. Now I'm quoting the Midrash. Le'ahar she'ata Adam HaRishon ve'achal me'etz ha'da'at. Amur haya li'anesh. He was destined to be punished, Adam HaRishon. Elaba yom ha'Shabbat. The Shabbat entered the Beit Din. And he became the defense lawyer of Adam HaRishon. Amar defanav, the Shabbat said, Rebon kol ha'olamim, b'sheshet yemei ha'maaseh, lo neherag herag ba'olam, ubi atam matchil. God Almighty, the 6 days during the week, nobody died. Nobody was executed. The first execution is going to be on my day. You said that Shabbat is the holiest day of the week. On my day, I'm going to be remembered that the first person was killed on Shabbat. How could you do that to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Adam HaRishon made a sin, but how could you punish me? What did I do? Monday is going to be better than Shabbat. Tuesday will be better than Shabbat. Nobody died on Monday. Nobody died on Tuesday. You're going to kill the first victim on Shabbat? Yad. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the judgment. ובזכות יום השבת, ניצול אדם מדינה של גיהנם. אדם was saved בזכות השבת. When the incredible Hadush, and when Adam came out of the court, he sang a song. What song did he sing? מזמור שיר ליום השבת. He had הכרת הטוב to the Shabbat. It was the Shabbat that saved them. טוב להודות. We have to give הכרת הטוב to the Shabbat. It protected Adam. And every year on Rosh Hashanah, just like the Shabbat in the first Rosh Hashanah of creation, 5,780 years ago, the Shabbat was in court. Every year, says the Aruch Laner, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, the Shabbat comes into the same court to protect the children of Adam. Oh. And the Shabbat, Rabotai, has the ability to protect us. How do we know? Well, I want to tell you a halakha. It's important that you know this halakha. I know all of you pray Arbit every night. And if you noticed in Arbit, the beracha right before the Amidah is Ashkivenu. Ashkivenu, we say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should save us from Dever, from Mashhit, from Magifa, from Ra'a, Ra'a, Harib, all the terrible things. And then at the end of the beracha, we say, please, God Almighty, Shomer et Amo Yisrael, Shomer, Mikol Davar Alad, save us from all the bad things. That's during the week. Now, Friday night, we also say Hashkivenu. But over there, we don't say Dever, we don't say Herev, we don't say Holi, we don't say Mashhit, we don't say Magifa, we don't say Satan. As a matter of fact, we don't even end the beracha Shomer. We say HaPores. Ask the Mishnah Berura, the Hafetz Chaim, why don't we pray for Shemira on Shabbat? Don't we need Shomer on Shabbat? Don't we need protection on Shabbat? I quote you the Mishnah Berura in Resham Zion. His Lashon is, Lefi Shebeshabbat en Yisrael Sirichim Shemira Ki HaShabbat Megina Alehem. The Shabbat protects. You don't need a Shemirah from all these things on Shabbat. The Shabbat itself is a protection. Oh, so therefore, the Shabbat is a defender of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbat does his job. He goes into the court and he takes care of it for us. And that's what the Ben Ish Chai means. The Shabbat will handle it for you. Don't worry. Only problem is, and I have to tell you this, Rabotai, I cannot keep this secret. I must tell it to you, even though it's difficult for me to tell it to you. It's very difficult to say this. The Aruch Laner quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that any year that they don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that year, lo aleinu ve lo aleichem, is not a good year. It doesn't work out. Could you believe it? Kol shana she'en tok'im ba betchilata, miri'im ba besofa. That a year that they don't blow shofar in the beginning of the year, this year we're not going to blow shofar in the beginning of the year, miri'im ba besofa, has b'shalom at the end. I don't know what could be worse. Look what happened this year, Rabotai. And we blew the shofar last year. Look what happened this year. Could you imagine not blowing the shofar? What's going to happen? So the Aruch Laner says he did an experiment. And he looked at different years in history when we didn't blow the shofar because it fell out on Shabbat. And he said, the year that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rosh Hashanah, Hal Yom HaShabbat, there was no shofar that year. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rosh Hashanah Shehal Leyot B'Shabbat. But then he comes along and he says, and I don't know how he made this calculation, but he says, the year that the Jewish people were forgiven for Chet Ha'Egel was Rosh Hashanah Shehal Leyot B'Shabbat, which is a good thing. So he says, it seems that when the Gemara says that bad things happen when we don't blow shofar in the beginning of the year, it's not absolute. It's not guaranteed. It's not a principle that's absolute. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So the Aruch Laner said, what does it depend on? So he says, it all depends if Shabbat will come to court to represent us. It all depends if the Shabbat is willing to be our lawyer. So he asks, well, what does that depend on? So he says, if the Jewish people were careful to keep the Shabbat, that the Jewish people were Shomer Shabbat the previous year before Rosh Hashanah, then the Shabbat says, you kept me, I will keep you. Just like we are Shomer Shabbat, the Shabbat is Shomer Israel. There's two Shomrim over here. The Ibn Ezra writes in his piyut that we sing in the Bakashot, Ki Yeshmera Shabbat, El Yeshmereni. That if we keep the Shabbat, the Shabbat will protect us. There's a Shemitah both ways. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael the Shabbat, v'shamar ha-Shabbat et Yisrael. So he says, if the Jewish people were careful to keep the Shabbat in Tafshin Peh, then the Shabbat will defend you in Tafshin Peh Aleph. And the years that the Jewish people were not careful, lo aleinu, it didn't work out good. Shabbat did not go to the court. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Rabbi, now you're telling this to us? You should have told us to us in the beginning of the year. There's no more Shabbatot of Tafshin Peh. That's it. The last Shabbat of Tafshin Peh passed us away. The next Shabbat is Tafshin Peh Aleph. It's too late already. You come and tell us after the wedding is over to take a haircut? What kind of advice are you giving us over here? It's too late. Well, it might not be too late, Rabotai. I don't think it's too late. It might not be too late at all. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his court, it's different than a human court, than a secular court, than a regular court, a regular Beit Din. You see, if a person goes into a regular Beit Din and the judge says, you're guilty, what do you have to say for yourself? So, please, judge, going forward in the future, I make a resolution, I'm going to be careful. The judge says, Hazak Baruch, thank you for being careful, but you're still going to jail. We don't care about your resolution, you'll never do it again. The resolution doesn't mean anything in the regular court. But in the court of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem accepts future promises. You can go to the court and you can say to the court, listen, I might not have been so good in the past, but I'm making a resolution, Kabbalah la'atid, from now on in the future, I'm going to be better. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, to me, there's no future. Everything is the present. There's no avar, atid, of it. Everything is one to God. So although we think it's future, to God, there's no such thing as future. Everything is at the same time. So therefore, Borei Olam says, you accept upon yourself a Kabbalah, I consider it as if it was done already. And therefore, I would give you advice, Rabotai. I know everybody before the new year comes is making resolutions. The Goyim, before the new year comes, they make resolutions to lose 10 pounds, to maybe shoot the golf ball a little better than they did last year, to, you know, take off some swings from their par. These are all nonsense. The Jewish people, before they come to Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, they have to accept upon themselves Kabbalot of Mamashut. But this year, Rabotai, you need to make a deal with the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah. You cannot go into Shabbat, into this Rosh Hashanah, if the Shabbat is angry with you. You need to come along today, tonight, and say, Borei Olam, I don't know what I did on Shabbat this past year. I don't know what I did. Whatever I did, that was last year. Hatati amiti pashati. I accept upon myself, Tavshin Pe Aleph, it's going to be a different Shabbat. Oh, Borei Olam goes to the Shabbat and says, listen, he accepts it to fulfill you. V'shamru b'rit Shabbat. Shabbat is good, I'll defend him. What is Shabbat? You have to learn the halachot. You cannot be a shomer Shabbat until you learn the halachot. Bigdei Shabbat. You know, in America they say there's Friday, there's Saturday, and Saturday night. Those days don't exist in Yahadut. Friday is called Erev Shabbat. Saturday is not Saturday. Shabbat. And Saturday night is Motzei Shabbat. These are Kodesh days. Erev Shabbat is a preparation for the Shabbat. The whole day, we make Hatarat Nedarim in the morning. Then we reach Shnai Mikra B'Hat Targum. And then we go to the Mikveh. And then we put on Begadim Na'im. And we come and make Lechadudi. And the Kiddush with the Shalom Aleichem. And the beautiful foods. And the Bakashot. And the Vre Torah. This is Shabbat. What is Shabbat? To go to the beach? What is Shabbat? To send emails on the iPhone? So good, let the iPhone represent you in court. Let Apple come and represent you on the court. We're not going to do so good. Shabbat, Bet Knesset, Sefer Torah, Rabotai, Motzei Shabbat, Benavim Malka. Even Sunday is not Sunday. Sunday is Yom Echad B'Shabbat. Everything is Shabbat. And therefore, I would say, in the year Tavshin Pes, the 3 days at the end of the year are over, you need to make sure that you're on good terms with the lawyer. You must give the lawyer a retainer. You must make sure that he's going to show up. You don't want him to say, listen, he didn't give me any money to show up. Why should I show up for him? You need him to represent you. Listen, if we had shofar, I would tell, okay, don't worry, you have the shofar. Shofar represents everybody. But you don't have the shofar this year. And the Aruch Laner said, in years that there was no shofar and there was Hilul Shabbat, there weren't good years. Kol shana she'en tochim ba b'tchilata, parentheses, b'ayah Hilul Shabbat, miri'im ba b'sofar. That at the end of the year wasn't good. So we still have a chance to rectify it. Now, I have some good news. I do believe that this year, because of the pandemic, there was probably less Hilul Shabbat than most years. So we might be in a good position. For the simple reason, everybody was home. At least in America, nobody left their house for 3 months. Now, I don't know what they were doing in their homes, but at least there was no Hilul Shabbat in public. Nobody was going in their car on Shabbat. Nobody was going to the movies on Shabbat. They're home. There's no Hilul Shabbat in Pesach. In Israel, there was no buses on Shabbat. For many Shabbatot, now again, they're closing down. Who knows? It might be a beracha. Maybe Borei Olam put everybody in such a way so at least the Shabbat will be consoled. The Shabbat will be appeased a little. And now when Tavshin Pe Aleph comes, the Shabbat will come along and say, listen, whatever the reason is, they were a little better this year. They defended us. But we are Baruch Hashem, Rabotai, B'nai Torah. B'nai Torah have to accept upon themselves, again, not to look for every leniency in Hilchot Shabbat, not look for every loophole and every... Shabbat is Kodesh. The Shabbat does so much for us. We don't want to keep the Shabbat properly. We want a good Shemirah. We don't want to give us Shemirah Pechuta. We want Shemirah Yeterah. We want a good Shemirah. Oh, if that's the case, Rabotai, I have to tell you what Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev said, the great rabbi from Berdichev. Rav Levi Yitzchak once came to God on Yom Tov, Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yot B'Shabbat. And he used to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like somebody's talking to their friend. He would say, Borei Olam, today's Rosh Hashanah, today's also Shabbat. And God Almighty, you told us you're not allowed to write on Shabbat. Ketivaz asur on Shabbat. You cannot write. And you keep the Torah. So you're not allowed to write on Shabbat, even though the books are open. But you can't write us in the books because you can't write on Shabbat. However, you told us that there's one case where you can write. When is Ketivah Mutar? When is it permissible to write on Shabbat? For Pikuach Nefesh. If it's a matter of life, the doctor can write a prescription to save somebody's life. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're only allowed to write us in the book of Hayim this year. Because you're only allowed to write for Pikuach Nefesh to save our lives. You cannot write us in the book of death. Ketivah asur to kill on Shabbat. You cannot write. So you have no choice. You must write us in the book of life. Pikuach Nefesh du'ei Torah. Therefore, Ketivah mutar. That was Levi Yitzhak ben Berdichev's conversation with God. And therefore, he understood that Shabbat is a zechut for us. But if a person is not keeping the laws of Shabbat, how can we ask God to keep the laws? Borei Olam says, you're asking me to keep the laws. Why don't you keep the laws first, and then I'll keep the laws? You cannot be a hypocrite. And therefore, Rav Levi Yitzhak said, when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbat, it's a good year. And he quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah shechal liyot b'Shabbat. He says, why does the Mishnah have to say Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah? Just say, Rosh Hashanah shechal liyot b'Shabbat. What do you need? Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah. So he reads the Mishnah like this. Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah shechal liyot b'Shabbat. It's a great day when Rosh Hashanah shechal liyot b'Shabbat. And that's what the Bein Ish Chai said. The Bein Ish Chai said, there's more mercy on Shabbat than any other day. It's Et Ratzon. Therefore, the Bein Ish Chai's opinion was you should make Tashlich even on Shabbat. I'm not telling every community has their own minhagim, what they do. But he believed that for sure the Tashlich should be done on Shabbat because it's Et Ratzon. You have a double beracha on the Shabbat. So therefore, I say Rabotai. This year, our focus should be on Shemirat Shabbat. And even if we're all considered Shomer Shabbat, we can always enhance the Shabbat. Learning a little more, Devre Torah LaShulchan. Everybody has a certain way. Maybe we can sleep a little less on the Shabbat, especially Ba'alei Batim. That's the day that they have to devote themselves to Limud HaTorah. That's what the Shabbat was made for not only physical rest, but for a spiritual respite, for spiritual elevation as well. Menuchat Nefesh, not only Menuchat Guf. Well, I believe if we do that, then we don't have to worry about this Rosh Hashanah. You know, we had a rough year, Rabotai. In America, they say when somebody's in a very low place, they say he's in the dumps. The dumps mean the low place. In Hebrew, the way you say dumps is ashpot. Ashpot is the garbage dump. And everybody, between the economy and the pandemic, and well, maybe not in Brazil, but in where we live in New York, there's riots, and there's unrest, and there's elections. Tohu vavohu, Rabotai. Not a good year. The Jewish people around the world, in Eretz Yisrael, all the different sarot, nabot, mashchit, umagefa. We're in the ashpot. We're in the dumps. But David HaMelech said, when God sees the Jewish people in the Ashpot, what is he going to do to them? Me'ashpot yarim ebyon. Remember, whenever the Jewish people are going to find themselves in Ashpot, he's going to lift them up. That's the year that Mashiach is going to come. Shnat ge'ulati. It's going to be the year of my redemption. Hatam Sofer said, if you look at the word Ashpot, Ashpot is otiyot tafshin pe'alif. And therefore there's a remez. Me'ashpot. That when Klal Yisrael is going to get to the low level that we are now, that's the Yetavshin Pe'alif Me'ashpot Yadim Ebyon, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to lift us and is going to redeem us. And therefore I say to Rabotai, although the end of this year was quite difficult, but it will be fulfilled what it says, Tichle Shana V'Kelelotea, that the year will finish and all the curses will be behind us. And a few days, Be'ezrat Hashem, Mikan ulhaba lechoshbenat tava. From here on in, it's a new ledger. It's a new day. Tavshin Peh is finished. It'll leave us with all its kelalot. And now we'll be able to start the year of Ashpot Yarim Ebyon. The year of Tavshin Peh Aleph will be Tahel Shana uberchoteha. The beginning of the new year will bring and usher in tremendous amount of blessings. But we must make teshuvah. And the teshuvah of Tavshin Pe Aleph must be in the Shabbat, because we need the Shabbat more than ever. We need it not only for Rosh Hashanah. Everybody feels unsafe. Last year we felt safe. This year we don't feel as safe. We walk in the streets, we look behind us. I know in Brazil they told me they don't walk in the street with a watch on. In America, they wear 3 watches in the street. Nobody was afraid of anything. Now people are taking off their watches. Now ladies are taking off their jewelry. Now all of a sudden, we're acting in ways that we never made because people are nervous now. People are asking for security. There's no year that we need the Shabbat to protect us. Not only on Rosh Hashanah, we need him to protect us the 6 days of the week, the 365 days of the year. Now is no time to leave the Shabbat. Now is the time to come along and make a big deal with the Shabbat to bring him back in order that we'll have a Shemirah Yetera, a strong protection. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Ari says, if you look at the word Hashabbat, Hashabbat is Otiyot Teshuvah. Mizmor Shel Yom Hashabbat, Hashabbat Otiyot Teshuvah. And specifically on this Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishri, which is Rosh Hashanah Shehalu B'Shabbat, we're reminded what the Tikkuni HaZohar says. The first word in the Torah is Bereshit. Bereshit is Otiyot Aleph B'Tishri. Bereshit, the beginning. The beginning of the year is Aleph B'Tishri. But Tikkuni HaZohar says Bereshit is also Otiyot Yare Shabbat. And therefore this year we have to fulfill both Rebazim. Aleph B'Tishri, Shehalu B'Shabbat. We have to have fear of the Shabbat. And look how much the rabbis were afraid of the Shabbat. They took away the shofar so we don't come and Chas v'Shalom desecrate the Shabbat. Look how much they treated the Shabbat with white gloves. They didn't want somebody to carry on Shabbat, so they took away the shofar. And therefore, we must learn from the Hachamim. If they were scared of the Shabbat, they were scared. They didn't want this matana bebet kinazav to be compromised. And therefore, Rabotai, we must learn from Hachamim. Just like they made a fence for the Shabbat, a very, very strong fence, even to the extent of taking away the shofar. So therefore, we must behave in the same way. And in that zechut, then Be'ezat Hashem, this will be a year of Shabbat. Not a year of Shabbat, just a regular Shabbat of Bereshit, but will be fulfilled what we say in the Birkat HaMazon, Arachamanu Yanchilenu Deyom, Shekulo Shabbat, which we the Shirat of Geula, the Shirat of Mashiach, Shiavo b'merabi amenu, amen, ken yiratzo.
Amen. Amen. Chazak u'baruch. Rav, it was amazing. Thank you very much. Marcelo, I think that we need to bring the rabbi here to São Paulo. It's difficult only from Zoom. It's impossible. We need to make something for the next year. We need to bring him here to São Paulo. It's your you are responsible, Marcelo. You need to talk with him. We need to make something. Rabbi.
It's my pleasure. It might be my honor. I haven't been on really, a plane since March. I'm looking forward to get on a plane again.
That really was a pleasure.
Thank
you. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. Thank you, Marcelo.
All the best, Rabbi.
Okay, all the best.
Eu gostaria de lembrar a todos que, se Deus quiser, a gente continua com a Sidra do Shiurim. Se Deus quiser, na quinta-feira, a gente vai ter mais uma aula. Na véspera de Rosh Hashanah, a gente tem mais uma palestra. Todos estão bem-vindos às 9 horas da noite com Rav Duvi Ben Shushan. 9 horas da noite. Todos estão bem-vindos aqui no Zoom da Sinagoga. Obrigado mais uma vez à comunidade Beit Yaakov e à Escola Beit Yaakov por essa oportunidade da gente poder fazer uma palestra dessas. Eu vi um fenômeno que nem o Rabino Mansur. E obrigado, Marcelo, também, por essa super oportunidade de ter ajudado a gente. Rabbi, one more time. We don't have words to appreciate, to thank you for this class. Thank you very, very much. All the best. Boa noite a todos e obrigado mais uma vez.